Hello, and welcome to the Faithbrook Church Messages Podcast. Whether you're exploring faith, new to faith, or actively following Jesus, we're so glad you're tuning in, and we hope that these weekly messages will encourage, challenge, and inspire you. Life is not meant to be done alone, and our hope is that these messages will lead you into a new and thriving life in Christ. Now let's listen to this message from our lead pastor, Jim Comfort.
Yes, well, guess where we're going this morning in our series, You Drive Me Crazy. Well, before we get there, I just want to welcome you on this beautiful day at Faithbrook. It's a great time to collect and worship the Lord. If you're watching us online, you might be traveling or just busy. We want to welcome you also because it is Mother's Day and all mothers kind of hold a special place in our hearts. We even think of those who have passed on that have invested in our lives, and we appreciate them. Now, I was out last week, but I understand we had a very exciting, high-energy speaker, so I hope you enjoyed her and learned a little bit about marriage and not driving each other crazy. So it's Mother's Day, and if you ask most mothers, that they love their kids. But if you also ask them if their kids ever drive them crazy, they would probably confess, yes, once in a while. There's something about kids that just can be frustrating. Sometimes they don't listen. They forget instructions. They procrastinate. They dawdle. They don't get their homework done. They don't want to go to bed easy. And it can be very frustrating. You know, it's like our first child. He had two speeds. He had slow and slower. Let's go. There's sibling conflicts. The kids are notorious for whining. They're complaining. They have messy habits. Toys are scattered everywhere. They don't really care about being clean. They're falling over themselves, breaking things. I mean, how many times have you told your kid, don't eat too much of that, right? Before you know it, that night, they're very sick. And so here you are trying to clean them up. You might be a very frequent flyer to the local ER department because your child's always hurting themselves. I mean, it can be very exhausting to be a parent. I appreciate with Michelle and Les Hamilton's always said, parenting is not convenient. Can I get an amen? Yes, parenting kids is not easy. Yes, but parenting kids is worth it. Is it worth it? Kind of reminds me of taking your family on one of these kind of log rides or a water coaster. You know, it's very easy at the beginning. You know, there's a lifeguard there, and you're trying to place your family and your child in this little raft. And so the water's shallow. It's not very rough. And you place them in there because it's going to be a ride. Parenting is like not easy, but it's worth it. And it's going to be a ride. I never forget, all of us do it when you have your first child. Remember taking them from the hospital to home? I mean, it's a big deal. You got the like brand new vehicle, right? The brand new car seat. And you got everything is sanitized and organic and purified, right? You don't want the little thing getting upset or sick. You got every monitor and tool and everything. It's precious. And it's like sitting in that little water coaster. And it's kind of easy at the beginning. All they're doing is like sleeping and eating and doing their business. And you're like, that's not bad. Maybe they go to a year and they start walking. Isn't that cute? And then after that, they start getting a mind of their own, right? Now they're running around the house. Now they're grabbing things, breaking things, getting in fights with their siblings. Next thing you know, there's a major meltdown. There's all kinds of sickness. And man, it's just like that water ride. All of a sudden, it gets really kind of bumpy. And you're bumping into things and splashing, and that's cold and spinning. And it's like, oh, now we're really parenting. They get a little bit older, right? And you get a note from the teacher. We need to talk about your child's behavior. Oh no. They seem to be struggling in their schoolwork. They're jumping off the back neighbor's fence. They're crying. They're lying, and everything kind of scares us. It's tough. It's not easy. Now, some of you, this might not apply because you have some perfect children. Your kids don't have any problems. They get their grades in. They don't misbehave. They don't whine. Good for you. We love you. But this is what I've discovered, that every child is different. God designed them specifically, uniquely, before they were even born. God, the Bible tells us that he was developing them and wiring them, and some are more high energy than others. Some are more compliant, and some are not so much compliant, and it can be a struggle. Now, if you're a single parent, man, shout out to you. I don't know how you do it, especially if you've got multiple kids. I mean, that is a super hard job, and a shout out to you. Some of you don't have kids yet, and you're like, I don't know after hearing this, Jim, if I even want to have kids. This looks extremely difficult. It's kind of like that water ride, right? You get out of control after a while. And this is all before the teenager rapids coming up in your life. Well, don't forget that a lot of times we get really trapped in the thinking that my kid's misbehaving, he's not developing, what's wrong with them, that scares us. And we think, oh, if this was parenting is, and help us, Jesus, because it's not going well. Well, can I give you some advice this morning? Now, one of the things that we really want to take home today is remember to parent for the long game. It's the long play. It's the long game, not the short rapids and problems and bumps that you are experiencing today. Yes, there's going to be some highs and lows. Yes, there's going to be some difficulties. But if you've been through one of those log rides or those water coasters, it's kind of scary and tough. But at the end, when it comes to the end, it kind of washes out and it slows down. And you look around to see if your family survived, if you survived, there's kind of a satisfaction that comes on you. You're like, man, I'm glad we did that. That was kind of fun. We made some memories. You're okay. And that's what it's like in parenting, if you're willing to parent for the long game. Now, if you're willing to parent for the long game, you got to grab a hold of some biblical principles. And the long game parenting requires the biblical principle of grace. Remembering that we have to give our kids some grace because they are trying to figure out themselves. They are still developing. They are learning boundaries. They're discovering independence. They're trying to navigate social skills and even their hormones. And so when they are bumping, jostling, screaming, and not behaving, just remember this is normal. This is part of the water ride. This is part of the long game, and they need some grace. It reminds me of the long game that even Jesus' parents had to play, and it got a little bit frustrating for them. The good Luke recorded a special family moment in their ride in parenting in Luke chapter 2. It goes like this. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. He was about 12 years old, they say. But they were unaware of it. Well, how do you know that your kid's not with you when you're returning from a trip? Thinking he was with a company, they traveled on for a day. They began to looking for him among their relatives and friends. So this is a Jewish family. They have large families. They're pilgrimage to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. Now they're going home. There might have been 50 to over 100 of them. And everyone's kind of like watching everyone else's kids. And they discover that Jesus has been left behind. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. Now, can you imagine this scene when they're walking around? Has anybody seen Jesus? Anybody seen Jesus? No, we haven't seen Jesus. And they're like, really, Jesus is not with you? And then it dawns on them, Jesus is not with us. We've been walking for a whole day. And now everyone's talking about it. Mary and Joseph lost Jesus. Who loses their kid, right? And then the most embarrassing moment, right, frustrating moment, they're like, we got to go all the way back to find our kid. Where is our kid, right? They turn around, the walk of shame. They go back to Jerusalem. After three days, the scripture tells us. Now, can you imagine the level of fear, anger, frustration? Have you seen Jesus, 12 years old? No. Now it's just boiling. Somebody take him, abduct him, and they're probably very mad. Well, luckily, they found him in the temple. That was the church in those days, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Oh, there's our kid. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, Why have you treated us like this? Son, do you understand how aggravated we are with you? You understand how embarrassed we are and frightened? Where are you? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you. We have been worried. Why have you frustrated us this way? Jesus responds, well, why were you searching for me? What's the big deal? Don't you know that I had to be in my father's house? In other words, Mary, Joseph, you were there when you got the memo from the angel right before I was born and said you're going to give birth to a son and you give him the name Jesus and he's going to be a savior of sin. I am the Messiah. I am the Son of God. This is where I kind of cohabitate here in the temple. And they didn't put that together. But they did not understand what he was saying to them. All they knew is that he was driving them crazy. And they were very frustrated. Sometimes we don't understand why certain children do certain things, or they don't do certain things. It can be very frustrating. Like Jesus just kind of like on his own saying, I'm just staying back. Didn't ask permission. Didn't take the time to tell his parents or ask his permission. Didn't. But God had a plan for Jesus, and God has a plan for your child. Even though maybe they frustrate you, but God loves them and has a unique design for them. And you have to remember that we have to institute some grace because what they're going through can be very normal. Now, I find this out often in my family dynamics because I want the best for my kids. I'm thinking high of my kids. And so I'm just like, you need to be behaving and making decisions at this level. And I have a gracious wife that she reminds me. She will ask me this way, were you doing that when he was that age? Were you making those wise decisions at his age? And I'm like, very good point, right? No, I was not doing that. I was driving my parents crazy. In fact, when I was a kid, my mom would tell me once in a while, she'd say, Jimmy, you make me see red. That's what you're saying. I don't know what that means. You make me see red. All I know is she was very mad at me. I think back at some of the stupid things I did as a teenager, reckless things that worried my parents and maybe embarrassed my parents. And they're probably wondering, man, what is wrong with this kid? Is he ever going to get it together? This is what I have to be reminded of. They're all in process. They're all developing. And what they're going through is normal. And so are we giving grace? Are we understanding that? Boy, the other day I heard a tough story about an adult child that was trying to minister to her aging parents. And the friend was telling me that this adult child was struggling, giving mercy and grace to the aging parent. The aging parent's now kind of feeble and wanting a lot of attention and to be kind to that aging parent. And sometimes the aging parent was crying and wanted the adult child to come over and give him some grace and mercy. And this adult child was struggling to show mercy and grace to her aging parent. And the deal was is that child was not treated with grace when she was younger from that parent. And that parent was very harsh. That parent had a lot of expectations and very little grace, very little mercy. And now it's reversed. And this adult child has a hard time showing mercy and grace because of that parent didn't show much to her when she was younger. It's a tough, sad story because that parent did not parent for the long game, the long run. Now, when we talk about grace, we also have to remember to have grace for ourselves because as parents, we can be very hard on ourselves. Our kids are the most precious thing that we have and own. We have to remember even Jesus' parents were not perfect. I mean, they lost their child. Come on. There's a lot of stress and things going on in our life. I used to think through this parenting deal. And I was like, God, why did you have us have children when we're just kind of younger, getting our careers and our marriages together? You know, right at this intense time, we want to appease the boss. We're trying to check all the emails and still have a romance with the person we just married. We'd once in a while like to still play and recreate like we were young. And now we got these two or three kids. They're running around. They're always wanting attention. You got to change your diaper. They're sick, melting down. It's not easy at all. And maybe God knew that that we would have the energy when we were younger versus older. But men, it can be a high, intense time in that period of life. And don't forget to say, man, all right, it's not always easy. So have some grace for yourselves. We think about the Bible and God's heart for us. Psalms 103 says, God's compassion is like a father who has compassion on his children. So is God's compassion with you. 2 Peter talks about God's patience with us. So be patient with yourself. Nobody really taught us, and we didn't go through formal education to be great parents. So give yourself some grace. Some of the parents that really struggle with this is when they have adult children, and their adult children has had some issues. Maybe some incidents with the law, maybe some just belligerent denial of the Christian faith, and just kind of wrecking their life. And it's so easy for parents to carry a load of guilt, to be replaying in their mind. Was it us? Were we too harsh? Not harsh enough? It's probably our fault that our child has chosen these bad choices and misbehaviors. But the truth of the matter is, every child has their own free will. Every child makes up their own decision, especially as they get older in life. It's not on the parents. You can lead a horse to water, but the horse still has the right to drink or not. And we can direct our kids, parent our kids the best we can. But somewhere in their life, they have to own those values. They have to choose for themselves to follow the things of Christ or not to follow the things of Christ. And God says, be free. This is on them, not you. You did your very best. So remember to have some grace for yourself in this parenting journey in your life. Now we come to probably the most difficult time, and that's when these kids grow up to be teenagers, the adolescent years. It can be extremely challenging. It's like one of these these water coasters going into the rapids, or some of these parks have these big vortexes, these funnels. I don't know if you've ever seen that, but there's a family right there. They're just trying to survive. That's what it's like. And eventually you're going to get flushed through that little hole. And sometimes that's how it feels to be parenting teenagers, because they can be intense. There's all kinds of perplexities, all kinds of dangers. You didn't realize that all of a sudden your kid's about to drive. My son just turned into driving. I was like, hopefully he won't get in a wreck. And will he make wise choices? And we got to navigate the things of dating. And are you going to be proper? And who are you going to date? We got all kinds of technology battles and threats out there for our kids that they are notorious in the teenage years and not sharing vital information. Oh yeah, mom and dad, I got a final test tomorrow. You got what? I got this project. Sorry, mom and dad, I forgot to tell you that I need to bring this. And there's another $200 it needs for this fine or this event. And you're like, what? You're driving me crazy. And so it's just like in these water rides, you're just bumping all over the place, up and down. You're going down that big old slide. You're screaming, can we do this? Your little child turns into this adolescent, and it comes with moods and attitudes, and they're grumpy. They don't want to get up in the morning, right? They can easily be disrespectful. They can get a little sassy. And you're like, how do we navigate this? I haven't been taught how to do this. I surely didn't do this when I was a teenager, right? And then every decision is a big power struggle. They're going to ask you why. I don't want to do that. And all of a sudden, you're in this debate with this teenager, and you're asking yourself, why am I in a screaming match? Why am I debating this situation? I don't understand it. The whole time, God's asking us to give them grace, to remember they are developing their independence. They are slowly slipping away from you. It's just like Jesus at the age of 12 slipped away from his parents and said, you know what, I want to do my thing. And he kind of left them. This is some regard as your child trying to find themselves. And so when it gets tough in these vortexes, when it gets tough in these rapids and you're just hanging on, remember to take some deep breaths once in a while. Remember not to always engage them in their power struggles and say, I'm sorry, I'm not going to debate this. This is the way it is. You made a decision. We made the decision. So that's the way it is. It's tough. In the 80s, there was a iconic Christian family minister named Dr. James Dobson. He wrote a lot of books. And one of the books that he wrote was Parenting Isn't for Cowards. Parenting isn't for cowards. And to do the purpose of loving our kids and parent them in that journey, up and downs, easy and hard, it takes a lot of courage. And in this book, Parenting Isn't for Cowards, he wrote this: don't look too quickly for the person your child will become. Don't look too quickly, because a lot of times when our child let us down and worries us, and we get the call from the teacher and he catch him lying, or there's an issue, you're like, oh no. And he says, man, don't look too quickly, because God has a future plan if you think and parent for the long game. One of the things that's helped parenting the last couple of years is scientists discovered this thing called the frontal lobe. Have you heard about this before? It's part of that the brain that is slow to develop, and that frontal lobe of the brain that's kind of immature. This is where the part of the brain that gives impulse control. This is also where we make decisions or lack of decisions. This, the frontal lobe, is part of judgment or risk assessments. It also has regulate emotions. Well, a lot of times that frontal lobe is not developed until past age 25. And we are parenting with an older frontal lobe that is matured and is developed. And then we're looking at our kids, and we're like, what is wrong with you? And they're like, hey, I don't know how to make a wise decision. I'm being reckless. My emotions are all over the place. I'm just going here and there. And you're like, will you please get organized and get responsible? And we forget that this frontal lobe physically is still developing and slow to develop. It's probably especially slower in males. Can I get an amen, right? So here we're in these rapids. We're in this funnel of navigating adolescence. And we got to remember another biblical principle is that long game parenting requires patience and wisdom. Oh, we need patience. Oh, we need wisdom. I appreciate what Solomon said in Proverbs 14. Whoever is patient has great understanding. Oh, Jesus, help us to be patient. But the one who is quick-tempered displays folly. Everyone is in process. Your children are in process. Some children are quick learners. They're highly responsible. They behave well. Others need a little bit more attention. They need a little bit more patience and grace. We got to remember that they're in process. A lot of times they take two steps forward, like, yes, one step back. And before we know it, it can aggravate us, and we can maybe lose our temper sometimes. We see Ephesians 6, where Apostle Paul says, fathers, do not exasperate your children. And sometimes we're just pressuring them too hard. You better hit that ball. You better run faster. You better get your act together. And we can exasperate them because we forget to have patience. And they're all in process. A lot of times our children are trying to find themselves socially. See, a lot of times we don't realize what was said to our children at school or on the bus, with their processes, where they rank, what their peers think of them. And this can be tough in our children. So is there some grace? Is there some patience? Is there some wisdom? And with wisdom includes some boundaries. You know, if you go down one of those water coasters or a log ride, it can get scary, it can go fast, it can be bumping around and splashing, but there's always going to be some walls, right? Retaining walls. And that's what God calls us to use some wisdom for boundaries and disciplines in their life, because they're always going to be pushing boundaries. And who are the parents who are going to be willing to say, no, that's not appropriate? No, I'm sorry that you chose to do that, but that is not part of our values. We're not going to allow you to do this. And sometimes it can be feel so bad that we're the bad guy and we don't want to hurt our kids or have them cry or be mad at us or stuff. But it's a biblical, loving principle we find in the Bible. For example, Hebrews 12, which writes, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. And sometimes we feel like, oh, if I rebuke my child, if I intercede with my child, confront my child, they're going to be upset with me. Because the Lord disciplines the one he loves. All discipline should be motivated by love. The Lord disciplines us. He rebukes us sometimes. And he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. If we are legit children of Son of God, sometimes he's going to say, hey, there's going to be a little bit of consequence here. I need to wake you up. And if we love our children, God's going to call us sometimes to bring in those boundaries and those consequences. This is where we earn our money. This is one of probably the hardest part of parenting is wisdom to know when do we step in, what is the appropriate consequence when they step over those lines, because they will be stepping over lines. And how do we administer that? It should come out of love and say, I'm sorry. I mean, we used to have a phrase in our family that would say, you know, we love you so much, we're going to let you do that. We love you so much that I'm sorry, we're not going to allow you to do that. There will be a consequence, and we're going to reinforce that consequence because we love you, because we're parenting for the long game. We see your future, and you go there and you mess up with that, there's going to be some danger. So we love you so much that we will set the parameters, and we will reinforce those parameters, and it's not easy. I ran across a quote the other day. I thought this applied. It says this: I think teens push boundaries because their lives are so confusing that they want to know what will hold fast. The only way to find out is to push. And so they will push us as parents. They will push our buttons. And they want to know subconsciously probably, hey, will you reinforce the value? Will you say no to that? And are you willing to be the bad guy? Because I need to know what's true in life, because everyone's like, do whatever you want. And who are these loving parents to say, no, this is where we're going? And the older they get, the boundaries in the walls get wider. They have to make their own decisions. But somewhere, we're always going to be parenting until they get 48 or something. But we're always going to be there. I appreciated this conversation. The other day, I heard on the radio, this co-host was talking about her young daughter going to prom. And she was sharing the struggle as a mom of a, let's say, 17-year-old, that her daughter's having to buy a prom dress. And she said, man, they're kind of skimpy, and I'm kind of worried. And I'm just like, oh, daughter, it just looks so revealing. And I'm not sure. And she went to her rabbi, female rabbi, and asked him, hey, what should I do? This daughter wants to wear this. And I'm like, oh, that's too much. And she said, this is all on the radio. She bring this up and her tension of being a parent. And the rabbi, female, says, oh, just let it go. Don't worry about it. It's a small thing. And then she said this. She says, no, I don't know. She says, somewhere you still have to be a parent. That's the phrase. You still have to be a parent. And I appreciated that in her. And she went on. She talked about, you don't have to be super harsh and say, no, 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 not at all. But you can encourage your child to maybe look at some other options. Encourage your child to, there's some compromise. But she kept saying, somewhere, we just can't just let them go. Somewhere, you still have to be a parent. And you have to have the wisdom to bring some boundaries. Because we might be the only one in their corner that says, you know, this is appropriate, this is not, and I love you enough to gently and wisely share what is true and what is not. Now, finally, parenting for the long run requires letting go and trusting. This is probably the hardest thing. We've been developing and building into these children for 18 years, and now they get to be a young adults. And some of them choose to go to college, and if you ever experience that, where you take your child to college, it's a heartbreaking, because they seem to be like tearing apart from you, and they're anxious to get to college, and they got all their stuff, and there's friends, and they're like, yeah, mom and dad, thank you, love you, but good luck, go on, I'm going to go explore the world, and it's me now. And somewhere we have to let them go. Somewhere we have to release them. For parents, they walk back in their car and they're crying, because a lot of times these kids don't need us anymore, and God calls us to trust him. To trust him with our children to release them to some degree. You know, you're trying to text them, how's it going? You might get a text back when they're in college, if they have time for mom and dad. It's tough. And this is where we start praying for them. This is where we start trusting God with them. And even when they get out of high school and that young adult, man, it's still very scary, because some call it the second adolescence. This is where, like, okay, I got some newfound freedom, so I'm going to go explore, and I'm going to see what my parents taught me was true or not, and they start breaking some boundaries, they start doing some scary stuff and crazy decisions, and we can't legally do anything about it. This is where that long game parenting comes from. We're still trying to give grace. We're still trying to influence. We're still trying to pray for them, even though we can't totally control them. And we're trusting God. We're praying, and we're trying to influence them. Because one day they're going to get through that second adolescence. One day that frontal lobe is going to mature. And one day they might even have children for themselves. The question is, will they want to hang out with us? The question is, will they still respect us? Or are we going to just so try to control them and just micromanage them in everything and every year? Or to trust God and to pray for their very best? Man, no one said parenting was going to be easy. It is not easy, but it is worth it. And some here might be discouraged. Some might be exhausted of parenting. But let me remind you of the words of Apostle Paul. And let us not grow weary in doing good. Let us not grow weary in doing good. Can I remind you, you might be watching online, you might be sitting here. If you're a parent today, that is the greatest occupation that you have. To parent a child, to speak into them and build into them, doing good. For in due season, we will reap if we do not give up. We will reap if we do not give up. If we play the long game with our kids, even though they frustrate us, even though we're like, oh my goodness, I don't know if they're ever going to develop, ever going to mature, ever in those notes from the parents, our teachers, ever going to stop. But if we play the long game and do not give up, we will see them come to maturity. So can I give you a tool to take home with you? If you're interested as a parent, like, man, I want to do this better to navigate all the rapids and changes and marriage and family dynamics, one of the best tools I've had all my life, and that is Focus on the Family. It's a huge resource. It's a giant platform, and they have a radio show every day. They interview people now. It's a podcast. It's on my playlist. Let me give you just an example of some of the topics they talk about. You can listen to this, mowing the grass, doing the dishes, on the treadmill. Here's one, encouraging moms to laugh. The next day, practical ideas for loving your wife. Experiencing freedom from shame. Preparing for the empty nest years. Transforming lives through foster care. Turning down the anger and turning up the light. Putting your family first during busy seasons. These are the resources that can equip you and help you to be a better, godly, Christian parent in your life. That's what Jesus' parents wanted to be. They did their very best. They had some setbacks. They had definitely had some frustrations. But you see the end of this passage in verse 51 in Luke 2. It says, when they went down to Nazareth with them, and he was obedient to them. So he went back to their hometown, Nazareth, and he was obedient to them. Wouldn't that be nice if your children were just obedient like Jesus? That'd be nice, but most of them are not obedient like Jesus. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Mary started realizing, hey, there's something going on here. This was an incident. This was embarrassing. This was frustrating. But she treasured his life in her heart because she was playing the long game. She realized whatever happened that week wasn't the best scene for the family, but she was going to play the long game and she's going to remember. And because a lot of parents tell us that the childhood years, parenting years go through so quickly, treasure them in your heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Man, if we could have a dream for our children, we would want that. That our children would grow in wisdom and smarts. That they would have some stature. In other words, some development or some maturity. And then favor with God. They would have a loving relationship with Jesus Christ, their Lord, their Savior. And grow in that relationship. And then that kind of bleeds over to other, how they treat people. And how people see them and their reputation. Favor with God, favor with others. Mature, wise. This is our hope. This is our goal for our parents. This is what we pray for, but we can't give up. We have to parent for the long game. And can I close this message with some insight that I've learned through the years? See, I had the fortune to live quite a few years. I've been around this church for over 20 years, and I've seen many parents when their kids were young. And there were some times where they were exasperated. There were some times where we were very worried or frustrated. But I've seen those kids grow and go through the rapids and go through the funnels and the parents. But I also seen them grow to be young adults. And you know what? Most all of those kids figure it out. Most all those kids figure it out. And they test their parents, and they might rebel against their parents, but a lot of them, almost all of them, say, you know what? That was the best way to live. And they develop. And they mature. I tell a lot of dads, especially when their 22-year-old son is not really getting it together, I say, man, just hang on. They will figure it out. Pain is a good teacher, right? And they eventually get there. So be patient, parent for the long game, and God will be with you. So let's stand, and I will pray us out today. Gracious God, we thank you for the words to help us when we navigate the most precious things that we have in our life, and that is our children. I pray, God, that you remind us to have some grace and patience with our children when things don't always work out. I pray you also give us some grace for ourselves, that we're just mere humans, and that we also are in process and we're trying to figure out our own life and journey. We pray, God, that you give us great wisdom. You tell us in your word, if we pray for wisdom, that you will give us wisdom, because kids are complicated, parenting is complicated, and it's not easy. We pray for patience, to take some deep breaths once in a while, to not always engage, but also just reinforce with wisdom and love. And God, I pray for parents that are maybe aged out of parenting, and they don't have much influence of their adult children now. Would you just encourage them to release them to you, to pray for them and do their very best to befriend them, encourage them along their own now adult journey, because we're always going to be some level of parents. Help our children. We live in unprecedented days, technology and culture and dangers and threats. We pray over them that you would help them navigate their own personal decisions. Protect them in all things, God. Give them wisdom and a love for you beyond their age, God, that they would always walk with you. We need you. We ask these things in your divine name, in the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Faithbrook Church Messages Podcast. If you're newer here at Faithbrook, we'd love the opportunity to connect with you and hear your story. To connect beyond listening today, we'd love for you to join us in person, or if you would please go to faithbrook.church/connect, fill out that form, and one of our staff will reach out to you soon. God bless and have a great day.